Hello, today is September 10th, and it's the news day, and definitely not the day before the anniversary of something very sad. That's all I could think of for the date. Only story.
Yeah, so we got government news and social media news and design today. Almost forgot what the second one was.
Social media is almost entirely the terrible things that Facebook are up to this week.
Facebook sure gets the headlines, don't they? They're like Trump.
Well, last week, actually. It was the stuff Facebook was up to last week that has now been reported on and analyzed. A lot of people are like, oh my God, the news is old. It's like, you don't understand. Like, you get the news out and it's like the knee-jerk insanity. You need at least a week to, like, look at it and think about it and wait for the developing stuff. Because these companies release crap on, like, a Friday hoping that nobody notices. And then it's, like, Tuesday before the good writers get around to writing about what happened last Friday.
Well, and we film on Sunday afternoon.
So. Well, that's
not important.
That doesn't even factor in.
Yeah.
The mistake you're making is giving any credence to YouTube comments. It's the lowest form of humanity.
Thanks, patrons.
We got no Ajit Pai this week. I'm sorry.
Must have been on vacation.
I'm surprising.
It's like maybe it's because isn't the Senate in downtime right now?
I mean, he's put in a lot of work for corruption and stuff. Crazy.
Man's got to take a break. It's only fair, right? Could go out to Verizon Island with the family. So instead, we'll start with an outrageous story from Google. Well, not really from Google, from the feds. This is not a new story. Technically, it's just more of the same, and you'd think that maybe the outrage from before would stop them. You'd be wrong.
The Verge says that feds have ordered Google location dragnet to solve a Wisconsin bank robbery. It's not just Google. That's sensationalist. It's Google and Apple. They want to know if there are any devices that were around the area of this Wisconsin bank robbery at like 9 a.m. on whatever it happened. Because like two dudes literally showed up whenever the bank opened up and left with a garbage bag full of money. And they got a picture of them in there. They haven't really had a lot of leads.
This is Lady Justice who... She's blind, because justice is blind, but she can detect your location data.
She's peeking out from underneath it.
So yeah, there they are. They claim they had beards and sunglasses.
And hoodies.
Hoods. So they don't really have a good idea.
Could literally be any construction worker anywhere around that area.
But they were very well planned. They were the first customers of the day. There's nobody else in the bank. And they had them empty out all the trays out front. And they got in the vault, emptied out some vault trays, took the vault keys with them. Pro move, I guess. I don't
know. Is that a pro criminal tip?
I don't see how that benefits you.
Yeah.
But, so they have no idea who these guys are. Let's just look at everybody who happened to be in the area.
That seems a little excessive. This seems like a fishing expedition. And you might be thinking, and it's like, well, if it helps them catch the bank robbers... But
is there even any guarantee that the bank robbers would have a cell phone on them?
No, not at all.
That'd be pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Although they did say there was a getaway driver, and they were hoping that the getaway driver might have been the one who kept a device. Here's your pro criminal tip. I think we've actually given this one before. If you're going to go do crime, do not take your phone.
You don't need it. It's fine.
Yeah. What if you get lost?
Just deal with it.
It's an atlas.
It does seem a bit like overreach. I mean, because you're going to get the overzealous, like, if in a perfect world, it's like, yes, the technology, and then they crack the case, whatever. But the reality is that a lot of the time you get the overzealous prosecutor, and it's like you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then...
And you happen to have a beard.
Yeah.
And you own a hoodie, so clearly it was you.
Yeah. Unfortunate. So... Remember that California data privacy law? It was supposed to be the best in the nation, untouchable when it comes to other types of data privacy. They were going to just really stick it to the man by doing their own version of data privacy. Google took a look at that, and they were like, oh, man, oh, yeah, this is good. Oh, this is great. We love this kind of stuff. Except this part here about ads.
Google and the industry tried to water down the first U.S. data privacy law. So this is going to be a theme for several of the stories. A lot of consumer protection stuff, especially in California, is happening. And so this is in California. And Basically, Google wants you to be able to opt into this automatically for using Google services, really is what it boils down to. So, like, if you use Google anything, you've basically agreed to whatever in terms of, like, data sharing. So this law wouldn't really affect anybody that uses Google anything, which is basically everybody.
Yep, and the default case in this law would pretty much destroy Google's data collection because of the way it works. And Google's like, oh, you know, let's just change some of this wording here, which a lot of people have weighed in on the proposed changes, and they're like, no, this completely, it's toothless after this. We can't do this. This is ridiculous.
And yet, Google probably owns half of California.
Yes. This will definitely show how far their reach goes.
I think Google's in a little bit of a scramble now, too, to try to find a way to maintain the ability to do targeted ads, but to also kind of rein in the industry. I mean, for a long time, Google had the non-obtrusive banner ads, and now, certainly doing the news every week, we see what sort of a wasteland the full banner advertising pop-up data mining JavaScript crash insanity that we constantly endure has created. And Google delayed that, but it happened.
Those of you who remember the early days of the news, we used to not use an ad blocker at all, and we had to start.
Have you seen that company? I can't remember which company it is, but if you search for their specific company name, they have a Google ad, and it's the top one, and it says, we are being held hostage. We have to buy this ad, because if you search for our software, maybe it's Basecamp, but basically they're just, you know, complaining about it, which is funny. Sad, but funny.
A lot of people don't even realize those are ads, even though they're marked as such.
Well, that's the point that they're making in their little ad there. It's like, we're not the top. You searched specifically for our name, but we have to pay Google to be the first thing that you see.
Otherwise, our competitors will get this. It's like, no.
So we talked about, I think it was Ohio?
Florida.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Ohio.
Florida also.
Where,
just Florida, man.
The Attorney General put a stop to the selling of certain data from the DMV. But at the end, he was like, okay, we're going to stop this for now. But remember, you all opted into this when you got a driver's license, as if that's optional. But we find out that it was not at all limited to Ohio.
Motherboard says the DMVs are selling your data to private investigators. So if you read this article, it just gets more and more horrifying the farther that you go. Turns out a lot of DMVs and a lot of places are selling your data. And the DMV's only real defense was like, well, we're not selling them your social security number, but every other piece of information that they have on you is being sold.
And they, so the way this law works, it turns out in 1994, some stalker, it got a woman's address through the DMV somehow and then went and killed her. So they created the laws as like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that. But the loophole is, it's okay for private investigators. Some places, private investigators are licensed, but not everywhere.
I was going to say, how hard is it to become a private investigator?
It's not hard.
It depends on where you are, but I doubt it's that crazy anywhere. So, you know, they're definitely selling it to lots of different places, but how much red tape is there before you can just get somebody's DMV information? And I think Motherboard actually went out and went to a private investigator and just bought some DMV data, and they're like, this was real easy and cheap.
So you're saying the law doesn't really, it's like, if you're a stalker, good news. You can just go to a private eye and be like, I need this person's data.
Yeah. Great news for the the basement dwellers of the world.
Well, that was effective.
So we talked about, I actually should have put these stories together. Google's got all this data, and the feds are just like, oh, I want that. I need that. And in this situation, this is very interesting. So, well, let's do the headline first.
Exclusive. Feds demand Apple and Google hand over names of 10,000-plus users of a GunScope app. I should point out 10,000 users is very low. That is a lower-bound estimate. That number, they come from like the number of downloads listed on just the Apple App Store. It's probably much larger.
Well, it is a niche thing, because it only works with this one kind of scope. So, like, you buy this scope and the app is a part of it. I don't know if it, like, helps you zero it or you use the phone as part of it. It's got a picture over here. Which,
it said it helps with zeroing and a whole bunch of other things. But this is a really easy way for ATF and ICE. I think the article talks about ICE specifically to find the owners of this scope. And it's like, oh, these are not supposed to be sold outside the U.S. Are people downloading the app outside the U.S.? What about immigrants? Are there any, like, naughty immigrants that have this? Because apparently that's not allowed.
Why did you pronounce it that way? Naughty?
So, yeah, you can't export this thing. And they figured out that some people are exporting it. Because it is some, like, you know, super high technology, small arms scope, it's under some kind of treaty. And you can't export it. Well, somebody sold it. It wasn't the company that makes it. So they're not in any trouble. They sold some, and then those people exported it.
AKA, they've already been investigated to the nth degree.
Oh, absolutely. And so what the feds are saying is, well, you know what? Just give us everybody's info, and we'll go individually and look at where these apps are being used and figure out.
That doesn't seem Orwellian at all.
Yeah. That's why we don't want, gun registration, because...
Well, you know,
they'll make a nice little list.
Google and Microsoft have the ability to just search your computer right now. Why don't we just order Google and Microsoft to deploy an update with the next round of updates for your devices that are going to search for all sorts of contraband?
Don't give them ideas, Wendell.
Oh, they already had that idea. They got a team working on that. Ron Wyden is a guy who regularly gets in the tech headlines. I think he has figured out that's a great little niche for him. I mean, he's a kind of a big lefty, but also kind of freedom guy. It's that weird.
Hey, it worked for Obama.
Dichotomy. I don't think Obama was anywhere on this guy's level, but he definitely understands tech, or seems to understand tech, or has somebody on his team who understands tech far more than all the other lawmakers. And he has a very incendiary statement about Mr. Zuckerberg.
He says that Mark Zuckerberg should face the possibility of a prison term. He ought to be held personally accountable. And he's not talking about the transgressions or, like, the security incidents of Facebook directly. He's talking about the fact that he believes that Zuckerberg constantly lies and misleads the public in terms of, like, what Facebook is doing with the data, how it's structured, how it's designed to make money off of your personal information. He thinks that is the more egregious offense versus the data breach.
Hard to disagree with, really. Now, he doesn't come right out and say exactly what kind of prison term we're talking about. I think he did that for the headline.
Yeah.
But he definitely does double down on, it's like, no, we need to hold these people personally responsible for these kinds of things. And he's not wrong that Zuckerberg kind of is Facebook.
Hey, they paid a $5 billion fine. I mean, that's enough, right?
Can you imagine Zuckerberg in general population?
I can't believe they got off with it. I mean, it's $5 billion is just a drop in the bucket. I mean, that was, like, whatever day that was, it was just like, I don't know. I mean, he would have just been like, oh, this is really terrible, and just laughing to himself as he's writing the check.
I was imagining him in prison, and like, what if he did the hot or not service for the prisoners? That's what he should do.
I don't think that would be welcome. I don't think the Aryan Brotherhood would respect that.
Well, listen, they don't need to know. It's all anonymous. That's the key.
If you have flown recently, you've enjoyed a litany of privacy invasion that you've had to go through. And it seems like the TSA loves to throw our tax dollars at new ways to remotely molest you with it. And this one is not necessarily for you. This is more for your baggage.
Airport security, 3D baggage scanners could end liquid restrictions. So this is first coming to Heathrow, I guess, in 2022.
What, how about this headline? Like, how did they go as the really, really brainstorm? How can we try to spin this in a positive? How can we make people think this is a good thing for them?
I mean, it worked on me because I was like, oh, that would be kind of nice to be able to take a full bottle of shampoo. But then you think about it some more and it's like, oh.
Yeah. So this basically gives them full vision into what's going on in your luggage. Yeah, I don't even have to open it up, which I guess also is a convenience, maybe, but...
Is it? How long until they just store 3D images of all of your luggage and all of your traveling and just put it in a big database somewhere? It's like, oh, here's a 3D model of all the crap that was in your luggage.
Imagine how valuable that would be as third-party data to sell.
Yeah.
It's like, what do people fly with? Here's a list. Here's what to sell in the airport stores. Yeah, that'd be huge. And they would definitely do that. T-Mobile and Boost, their subsidiary, they're really being looked at because of these mergers and stuff. And New York City, who seems to love to go after big businesses these days, especially telecommunications, has found some things they don't like about T-Mobile.
NYC is suing T-Mobile for allegedly selling used phones as new and using other shady tactics. So, New York City said that, I can't separate this between T-Mobile and, like, the individual franchise owners. Like, that was not clear from this.
I think this was an overall policy. Because they talk about the advertising. In the advertising, it says 30-day refund. But there's a catch if you read the fine print. It's a 30-day refund unless you buy it in-store. But they only sell phones in-store. So, like, how is T-Mobile not aware of that?
Yeah. And some of the used phones may have been people that returned those phones in the 30-day period, or phones that were factory refurbished, or phones that, like, the franchise owner just looked at and was like, ah, this phone's in good enough shape. I'll just clean it up, wipe the grease off of it, put it back in the box. Ta-da! It's new! It's for the next customer that walks in. Was that wrong? Should we not have done that? Yeah. So, not making excuses, but it's hard to imagine if this was a coordinated T-Mobile effort or just how things shake out when you're a T-Mobile franchise owner.
It doesn't matter. If you chose those people to represent you,
yeah,
then you should suffer the consequences. Just like your children. Now, Krista, this might be important to you.
Yeah, I actually read this article, and I sat and thought about how I should feel about it, and then kind of missed out on some of the other articles in this section because I was just thinking about this one.
How many times have you been in a national park and thought to yourself, man, I would love to do some e-biking right now?
Almost never. E-bikes are now allowed in U.S. national parks for better or for worse. Electric bikes, you can now ride them on trails, which is the distinction here. I don't know how to feel about it.
What was the one where they were hucking them into the canal? Was that?
No, that was the Lime scooters.
Lime. I would love to go to the Grand Canyon and huck a lime into the Grand Canyon.
Yeet.
That would be negative for the flora and fauna of the Grand Canyon.
It would be.
What if you hit a snake?
Bikes are pretty brutal on trails anyway, as are horses. Some people think that these might even be worse, but they go faster, so.
Yeah, they said the one limitation is there's a top-end speed limit of 28 miles an hour. That's a lot for a bike.
Well, and especially on, like, little trails and stuff, I feel like these are going to be a really big liability, ultimately.
But if you're, you know, hiking along a trail having a good time, and a 28-mile-per-hour bike comes roaring past you.
Exactly.
That's annoying, I would think.
That is, yeah, it's like the same people who also feel the need to play their music out loud on their headphones. And it's like, I came out here to get away from people and their crappy music. Please don't play it out loud.
That's hilarious. That happens a lot?
Yeah, people do that a lot.
Wow.
I mean, luckily, like, a lot of the places I hike, there's not a ton of people, but when you go through any sort of populated area, yes. Yes, there will be lots of people listening to their music out loud on a trail.
I can never remember how to pronounce this. Is it Uyghur? Uyghur? Uyghur?
I don't know.
Anyway, this is Reuters going out of their way to not say Muslims.
China hacked Asian telcos to spy on Uyghur travelers, according to sources.
I like how you just, like, go real low.
Yeah, I don't know. That wasn't the actual news, though. The actual news was, like, China is hacking all high-value individuals, plus Muslims. So, like, military or business, like CEO, executives, that was the news that broke. It's interesting that they chose to go with that headline.
You think a couple of people in Hong Kong might be on that list now?
More than a couple of people.
So, yeah, this... Now, when we think about China, I often assume that, you know, the jackboots come in to the telco and they're like, hey, we're listening. And the telco's like, yes, sir, of course, I love communism. But apparently they were sneaky about it.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would be.
You're taking a page out of our playbook.
It sounded like they were also involved in places other, like it says Southeast Asia, but Southeast Asia is not just China, right? So this would have had to have been foreign telcos as well. So they could try, you know, close the loop.
I think a lot of those people go, like, visit there
yeah.
and have homes, like, you know, like family there and stuff.
Yeah, so you get the two-way Visa thing going on.
They're back and forth. Interesting. So, no one should be shocked that the Chinese government is hacking, but hacking their own telcos, that is interesting. I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Now,
China, this is a quick story.
China, we know, loves facial recognition, and when I say China, I mean, you know, the Communist Party. Not necessarily the people, because as we see in Hong Kong, one of the things that they're doing now is tearing down those cameras, which is hilarious. But even the Chinese people might be getting pushed a little too far in that respect.
China is going to curb facial recognition apps in schools. So that's a positive headline, right?
Is it, though? I mean, is this not just find a line and step back a little bit?
Yeah.
I wonder. So we've in the past talked about they were using facial recognition. Now, when we think about facial recognition in school here in the States, it's like catch them as they come in the door, see who it is, map their faces, make sure that, you know, nobody leaves when they shouldn't or whatever. But in China, they took it full bore, and it was like, is this person paying attention? There's a camera in every classroom monitoring that.
In every device.
They went pretty crazy with it. If you're that company that does that service, I bet you hate this. We've mentioned the Hong Kong protesters. And as you can imagine, it's really often when people get out of hand in any country, one of the first things they do is shut down the internet. And I don't know if they're necessarily doing that in Hong Kong, but
yeah, they definitely have slowed it way down.
They are definitely, tracking it and trying to find out who's in charge and who's sending out all the organizing messages and stuff. So what's a protester to do? Well, there's an app for that.
Hong Kong protesters are using the Mesh messaging app China can't block. Usage is up over 3,000%. So this is made by a little company like, what was it, San Francisco?
Yes, and it uses
Bluetooth low energy to communicate, and so it'll send your message. Even if it works better in like short range, but even like longer range stuff, it'll do its best to try to get a message to your device.
And you can do AirDrop style, just tell everybody in the vicinity what's going on, or you can target individuals, and it will literally keep trying until it can find a way there. So your message might be just hanging out on somebody's phone for a month till they get on a bus and go somewhere, and it's like, oh, finally, I can get to my destination.
This is a little encouraging that maybe we are a little bit ahead of China in terms of intelligence services, because when we needed something like this in the West, there was Pokemon Go. If China had really been on top of things, their intelligence service would have developed this app so that they knew, you know, who to deal with in Hong Kong discreetly.
Surely the Chinese have Pokemon Go.
Well, no, I think that we came up with Pokemon Go, and like it flew so low under the radar, nobody knows. But if China had been on top of things, they would have rolled this app out immediately, this peer-to-peer networking thing, and then they can track all the users.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm sure they're working on one. And it's like Russia, you know. Russia doesn't want WhatsApp, but you can use Russian WhatsApp.
How would you like to be that software developer, too, where it's like the State Department comes in and it's like, just so you know, chances are Chinese spies are probably going to target you now, so you're under State Department protection? Or am I expecting too much of the government?
Also, San Francisco, there's a lot of Asian people, and you never know who's a sleeper agent for the Communist Party.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
So it's like, oh, the State Department showed up. It wasn't the State Department at all, it turns out. Oh, no.
Agent Chang. So we talked about California's data protection thing, and it's supposed to be, you know, the best in the country. I guess if you stand it up against GDPR and that kind of thing, we do have to give the EU the title there, because they reach deep into the pockets of the big tech companies.
I'm not sure they're not financially motivated, though.
Yeah, well, they obviously are. And then there's Australia. And Australia did a very interesting thing. They started working on it, and they were like, yeah, okay, we're going to do some cool data protection. Yeah, all right. But then, near the end here, they've removed something very important. Critically important, some would argue.
Consent has been removed from Australia's proposed data-sharing legislation. So the National Data Commissioner won't be able to prevent data from being shared. Rather, they are tasked with capabilities to encourage data custodians and accredited users to safely and respectfully share personal information.
They get a sticker if they do it correctly.
I humbly request, sir. Yeah, so they actually made the argument. They're like, you know what? If we let people make their own decisions here, all this data sharing stuff is not going to work.
They're going to opt out. So, people don't want it. We need like, how does that always happen? It's like, now there's data sharing by law. It all must be shared. And it's like, what? This is like, the joke is that happens in communist Russia, not Australia.
But it's not even that. It's like, we know you don't like this. You've made it clear that you don't like this. So clear that we know if we give you a choice, you won't do it. So we're going to make it so you're not allowed to say no to this.
Have the politicians in Australia been convinced that their economy will collapse unless their citizenry is forced into sharing their data? Why would they do this?
I think they're convinced that they'll default on their summer homes if they don't do what they're told. Unfortunate. Sad. And when it comes to government surveillance, you know, we've got China hacking the telcos, and we've got the NSA with their taps and all this crazy stuff and all this subterfuge. And South Africa's like, bros, why are you going to all this trouble? There's a real easy way to do this.
South African government admits conducting mass surveillance on all communications. Yeah, they just were like, there's only a few fiber optic connections coming into South Africa, so we'll just tap them all.
All the undersea cables.
And it's like, wait, doesn't that include, like, domestic communication and, like, your citizens and stuff? And they're like, yeah, we'll sort it out later.
Yeah, just collect everything.
I mean, you got to admire their directness and honesty about it.
Well, I don't think they admitted it. Somebody figured it out. There was some kind of investigation that got to the bottom of this. And hidden away in this article, the UK has been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what extent, but that's crazy.
That's where they got their undersea fiber optic cable tapping equipment.
So, good luck with that on your island nation, because that's literally everything. I mean, I guess there's some domestic stuff that doesn't make it to the undersea cable.
But we still need specialized equipment to tap fiber optics.
It really brings into perspective that whole thing about, it's like, should we let Google or Huawei build undersea cables? Because they might spy.
It's not a matter of if they're going to spy. It's a matter of who. Like, who you choose to spy on you.
So, switching to social media, first, we need to talk about YouTube. Now, this is very interesting because if you remember last week, I think it was last week, if not, it was the week before, YouTube came out with this big headline about the commitment to openness. We have to let people say things that other people don't like because that makes us an open platform, and that's what we want to be. And then this week, we get this headline.
YouTube has removed 17,000 channels for hate speech. Also, one of the Van Life channels.
Really?
Yeah. They've been trying to get their channel back for like a month, and YouTube just won't respond.
What was hate speech about Van Life?
It was there's like this Van Life channel, and like one of their sub channels was like their kid making, like, that had his own channel or something, and they just removed it, and they won't comment on why they removed it. They don't have any idea what.
Was it because it was a child? That might be unrelated. That might have gotten wrapped up around this time.
They won't talk about it. Like, they won't say why, and it had a lot of subscribers, like a lot.
So this seems to be mostly in league with the ADL. I think they just kind of let the ADL send them a list.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of white supremacist stuff. I'm sure there's plenty of that on YouTube. There's no secret there. But it's YouTube not being open after saying that they're going to be open. So they are deciding. Somebody's deciding what crosses the line and what doesn't. Facebook had an interesting headline. A lot of different places had different headlines about this. Reuters leaves out the juicy part.
Facebook brings face recognition to all users and discontinues tag suggestions. Tag suggestions was a thing that's been enabled forever, which is your friends post a picture and then Facebook harasses your friends. It's like, is that so-and-so? And then it builds its data set.
So what Reuters leaves out is that you will be opted into this facial recognition. You can opt out, but a lot of people are saying that they're not making it clear to everybody that you can opt out.
Because so, why would they?
Yeah, they love it. You know, that's
paging
great.
Ron Wyden, clean up on aisle 2.
Yeah, that kind of backs him up.
My friends can see that I put a picture of us up there.
Yeah, so when you upload a picture, it will automatically use facial recognition to try to figure out who's in it and, you know, do the auto tagging and stuff like that.
Listen, the people in the YouTube comments need an easier way to creep on you. And if the metadata is added automatically, then you're going to show up in searches more easily. How hard is that to understand?
Chris, to get those wedding pictures onto Facebook immediately.
I put a couple up.
And that translates into more ad revenue for Facebook and more traffic. I mean, what's not to love?
It turns out that human beings are fundamentally broken. And we have this...
Film at 11.
We have this sickness that makes us, you know, like, seek validation in a variety of ways. And one of the ways that social media is destroying our mental health is by giving us that instant gratification. That like button. That follow button.
Or the number of comments or any number of the other metrics on which the algorithm measures us and distributes our content to our subscribers.
We need more views.
Wendell has a little bit of that sickness. Just a little. He likes to look at the likes and the comments.
So,
more coffee.
Instagram has... they're the spearhead here. They're actually, in some countries, removing the like button. So you don't know. If you're a thought, you don't know how many people liked your picture. And Facebook says maybe that's not a bad idea.
Facebook says it may remove like counts. Yeah, Facebook could soon start hiding the like counter on newsfeed posts to protect users from envy and dissuade them from self-censorship. Womp womp.
Now here's an interesting question. See if you can riddle me this. Why would you have the like button at all if you can't see it, other than to make sure that your web of spying on all websites continues to exist?
Well, you can see what you liked, because originally that was like a bookmark thing. It was like, tag this and I'll deal with it later. But that's not what it is anymore.
No, I guess there is a use case there.
But yeah,
you change the icon, right? You'd want it to be like a save icon or a bookmark icon.
Well, no, in the social thing on the Facebook side, I could see it's like 7 of your friends like this, or, you know, 7 of your friends and 20 people in your extended network like this. They might go to something like that, or more than 50 people or whatever.
Some third party is going to build some sort of way to, you know, suss it out based on a web of accounts that they've got.
Wasn't one of the very early Facebook apps the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? Like, Kevin Bacon made a Facebook account, and you could, like, how
see
far
how
away are you?
See how close you were, knew him or whatever.
I thought that was about him being in films.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. But it was a funny thing. I don't know if that actually happened or if that was just something somebody said that Facebook should make.
Well, you might not be able to like people on Facebook, but now you can like them for real on Facebook.
Facebook launches an online dating service in the United States.
I like to imagine it's like the Facebook marketplace, but for people.
Which state? That's a mistake.
That's from MazaInside.com.
MazaInside.com. I never even heard of MazaInside.com. I don't know why that link was used.
We reported on that this was coming for a while. And
well, they launched it internationally.
Yeah. So the thing that they did, it's really just a link to your Facebook profile and your Instagram profile, but you also get like a separate page for like your dating profile.
But you cannot date your friends.
Yeah.
It's not allowed. You can date friends of your friends, but not your friends, except with the secret crush. So if you go on your friends list and you tag a secret crush and they also tag you as a secret crush, Facebook will join you together.
Gosh, this is so Orwellian.
Of course, when the next big Facebook leaks happen, all of your secret crushes, that's going to be embarrassing when all of your friends find out that you just went through and tagged everybody a secret crush, you know?
That explains why he liked all my bikini pics.
PSA, I don't think we had the story this week. I think maybe it was last week. Facebook accidentally leaked like 400 million phone numbers or something crazy like that.
No, we got that. It's in the security section.
Okay, yeah. So that's not this week. That's this week, but not this episode.
How embarrassing.
Ruined.
That all of your terrible, terrible pickup lines that you tried to use on Facebook dating would be released to the world. Sad.
I saw a thing that you said, just use the marketplace. Go in there, look for wedding dresses, and then find the recently divorced.
I thought you meant go in the marketplace app to look for a date. And
no.
It's like, oh, that's dark.
Well, I saw a tweet or something, and it was a woman, and she was like, they've had Facebook dating ever since the beginning of Facebook. That's where you get drunk and message your high school sweetheart and ruin your marriage.
Mm.
And finally, in design, Android. They've decided that it's time for a new logo.
Yeah, and it's not that dramatically different. It's just a little more simplified. The real story here is the applications. So to scroll down a little bit, you can see some of the different like posters and website and
his
animations. There's some really good animations for the new logo.
His antenna are a little higher up and a little longer.
They are. Well, scroll down so you can see the video of him being animated. It's actually pretty cute. This might not be the video I'm thinking
of. Oh, no, there was a GIF.
There's a GIF, yeah. Nope, keep going. It's just showing different colors. Standard.
It's pretty basic.
It is, but there is a...
Down a little more. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, so you can see he moves a little bit. And then there's one where he moves his head up and down. Like, there's lots of, like, little nice little micro gestures like that. Which I think is... It's very cute.
Pay attention, designers. This is what is... It hot now in the web.
It
not,
is, yeah.
Not like pop-ups and overlays and things
very
to slide
subtle.
In.
Subtle.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't ham-fist the animation here. That was early 2000s.
I really like the color scheme as well. It's unexpected in some ways.
Hasn't that basic primary colors always been there?
Yeah. Well,
I guess these are a little more muted.
Yeah, those are more muted.
But that's like
they
Gmail
use them together really well, which I like.
All right, well,
just a really solid design system. I have no like real critiques here. I think it looks really good. It's solid. Solid work. A little trendy, but I mean, for a tech company, that's kind of what you expect.
So. Probably tens of millions of dollars work.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, with all these, like the t-shirts and the buttons and stuff, that's expensive too. So.
I like him coming out of the pocket.
Though. Yeah, that's cute.
That's a good idea. Although, who wears an Android t-shirt?
So at least it's not on a tote bag. That's the thing you see design thing.
Why would you wear an Android t-shirt when you can get a level one t-shirt? There's an amazing selection of level one t-shirts at the store.
You're really about the brand today.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's store.level1text.com? We'll see you in the next episode.